passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
At Oxford, Mississippi, standing tall as the Walk of Champions, ready at this time tomorrow. The game will almost be over. An exciting weekend, week 10 of the college football season, and we are at the Grove. And there's no place better to be as we say hello to Tim and Roman. And
Roman, I feel like you're more excited than all the fans here to be here.
Well, it's because half them are in class. I've already done my ride around. They're still in class now. But I mean, they will continue to migrate down as they continue to remember that they don't need school this weekend. All they need to worry about is the game.
This is not ideal for the Grove to have an 11 o'clock in the morning kickoff.
I mean, that's not ideal here. No, I don't think so.
Well, Tim, let's talk about it because, I mean, there are a lot of big games over this week, and we'll talk this weekend. We'll talk about all of them, the one in Tuscaloosa, the one in Athens. But this one is intriguing.
Yeah.
And it's also, we were talking in a meeting, I said it's kind of nervy. You said it's even more.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Listen, I think Texas A&M is one of the best three-loss teams in the country, and especially when they get it going. This defensive line is one of the best in the country. Yeah. Their middle linebacker is playing out of this world when he's healthy. When things are going well offensively, they got a bunch of receivers that can make plays, several running backs that can make plays, an offensive line that hasn't been consistent but at times has been really, really good. So this is a team with a lot of talent. They can put it all together. A&M's a very scary team to play.
Yeah, and then I just go to the opposite side of that because we talk about all the talent and the pieces that A&M has, but then on the same foot, you got to give Ole Miss a lot of credit for what they've been able to do, especially for the defensive side, and that's led by Pete Golding on that side. And I know Alabama fans don't like Pete Golding,
same guy.
Yeah, the same guy that Alabama ran out. He has been a wonderful addition.
I didn't realize he was over here.
Yeah, he's been great for Ole Miss, and it's all about how they're able to create pressure without having to blitz. And they're bigger up front. They're more physical up front, especially size, height, yeah, all the little measurables, and that's allowing them to be so much more multiple on the defensive side of football. And when you're better on defense, it allows your offense to have just a little bit more time to make mistakes or not always be perfect, which that's what we always thought Ole Miss had to be just to be able to win games.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said physicality.
Yes.
Because that's this defense has really taken the next step as far as not getting pushed around up front. When you have a front seven that can compete at the line of scrimmage, now you got the option to bring more blitzes, be more multiple in the back end. It's something, yeah, Ole Miss is right now. And it starts by being able to match the physicality with your front four. And that's something for most part this year they've really done.
Yeah, I thought they've done great at that. And it's just really interesting. And early in the year, Ole Miss was struggling offensively because they couldn't have the run game. And all of a sudden, now the run game is alive once again. Quinshon Judkins, Ulysses Bentley IV. Oh. I think these two running backs are the two best combo in the whole SEC. And I really like what I'm seeing out of this Ole Miss team. Jackson Dart's been great all year long. Has kind of hit a little bit of a lull, but I think it's more the fact of the run game is back going. And now they're not having to throw the ball as much. So it's going to be a great matchup. And what Texas A&M does defensively will matter in this game, whether this game will be close or Ole Miss is able to pull out.
But one of the things that I love about Jackson is even when it's not clicking perfect, he's a warrior.
Yeah.
I mean, he is an absolute fighter that finds ways to get it done, whether that's with his arm, with his legs, with his heart. You could tell that he's just not someone that they follow because he's a quarterback. They follow him because every time that, you know, he puts on that helmet, he's going to battle.
Yeah.
And he leads that way.
I like what Tim's bringing up, the points that he's bringing up, because when I watch Jackson Dart, you never know he's not playing well by his body language. And that's the most important when you're the leader of this team or the quarterback of this team, because you have to be able to say, none of the other things matter. It's not about me. I still have to be the same person all the time if I'm going to be the same leader all the time, which is who he is to this team.
Let me get to a couple other quick games before we lose you to other responsibilities.
Just got more important guests, that's all.
Well, when you got Joe Tessitore on deck,
I know, he's preparing. He's got like 8 pages of
notes
right now.
You cannot keep him waiting. So let's get to Tuscaloosa for a second. And Tim, this is I want you to frame this game and what you're watching for and where do you see the game?
Well, so much of the West. Obviously, there's part of the West that's going to be taking place here, but that game has so much to do with it. I'm so excited, really, for both sides of the ball. But I want to talk what's not being talked about as much, and that's Alabama's offense and LSU's defense, because I think, you know, that's where – what are we going to see? Are we going to see Alabama be a little bit more up-tempo, spread it out, do what Jalen does a little bit better, or a little bit more ground and pound, keep it away from Jayden Daniels? I think this is where the checkers goes into chess.
Yeah.
And we're going to see a mastermind in Nick Saban. It's going to be fun to see what Tommy Rees does, the back and forth. How does LSU handle Harold Perkins? You know, I still think he needs to play on the edge most of the game and rush the passer and create chaos, because that's what he does so well. Stop making him sit back in coverage. That's not what he does well. You have one of the best athletes in all of football. Let him go. Unleash him against Jalen Milroe and see what he can do.
Yeah, I question that just because I don't think LSU has figured that out. And so I don't
Why
know.
Why not? Season's almost over.
And you took one of the best players returning in college football on the defensive side of football and made him.
But think of what a big statement that
yes,
is. One of the
huge.
Best players in the country
yeah.
last year as a freshman.
Yes.
And now he's not even really that involved in
yeah,
the
game. They did such a good job, they made him average.
Yeah. I didn't want to use the word average, but that's what he is on this defense right now. I would continue to focus on the other side of the football. I know Tim wants to bring up that part. I think it will be interesting to see, because we truly don't know that part at all. And we kind of know what the other side is, which is
LSU. Good on good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good on good.
Yeah, it's really good on good. And LSU is going to be able to score. I think it's more important for LSU to get off to a faster start, especially being on the road. They want this game played at their pace.
Yeah.
They want this game in the 40s. And that's why they don't care about Alabama scoring points, because they want to score points too. And they understand that.
But how do you stop them?
I don't think there is a stopping them.
Yeah,
it's about slowing them down. Number one, you got to have a rush plan when it comes to Jayden Daniels. You can't allow him to escape the pocket. If he beats you from within the pocket, then hats off to him. But you can't allow him to do what he wants to do and dictate the game that way.
Yeah, I think it's what Roman said. I think it's pressure up the middle. It's keep him in front of him. It's not let him escape and buy time with his arms. Now he's always multiple because he can throw it accurately on the run.
Yep.
Receivers can make plays. And these receivers, when you give them a little extra time, you can't cover him that long. And then he also has the ability to take off, and he's one of the fastest guys. So you got to keep the rush in front of him, keep him in the pocket, and then hopefully you can stay in too high defense so that you can your safeties can make
and
plays.
And look, Ole Miss beat LSU early this year. Shout out to them. And it was really because y'all got to make sure
love,
we got a crowd here.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we got to make sure the fans are feeling it too. So I think it's more important because the way they did it was – offense, 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 and then timely stops at the end of the game. And that's what Alabama has to realize is, okay, who had success versus LSU? It's the teams that got just a few stops here and there, and you're still able to score and keep them off balance themselves. So you got to have that in mind at
all
times.
I don't think Bama wants to play that style of game, though.
No, they don't want to, but sometimes you're forced to hand, and you got to play the hand you're dealt.
Okay, quick thought here before we run out of time on Missouri heading to Athens.
Super exciting. I think we can go back to last year and what a competitive matchup it is, but these are way two different teams, so I think it's hard to look back. I think this year, obviously, is Georgia the more complete team? I think so, but Missouri is such a scary team. You got one of the best receivers in Luther Burden. Brady Cook is playing at extremely high level. I love the scheme that they're doing. They're doing amazing things in their running game. They're being aggressive. They're taking shots. Their defense gets to the quarterback, and so is Georgia a more complete team? Yes, but Missouri's a scary team to play. This is because they're so multiple. They put you in very hard situations. So it's a very exciting game.
Yeah, not only that, but I think Missouri's secondary, I know Missouri's secondary is one of the best secondaries that Georgia's going to face all year long. And this Georgia team is not the Georgia team we always imagine them to be, which is just this big run-first team that's going to physically body you. Can they do that? Yes, but that's not how they have shown to be able to do it this year. They want to throw the football. And Carson Beck, with his arm strength and his ability to complete passes and do it that way, makes this Georgia team a little bit differently. I will be looking at the secondary of Missouri versus Georgia's pass game all day long, because that's going to be a determining factor. And if Missouri has any chance to run the football up front, watch out.
Tim and Roman, always a great way to start our Friday show. We will take a short break.
Let's get the people going!
When we come back, we will bring in Joe Tessitore and Katie George. We are off and running. We're live at the Grove.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and don't go anywhere. We have a live conversation here with Squirrel coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I mean, not a squirrel, but the squirrel.
There's squirrels right over here.
Joe Tessitore and Katie George.
Yes.
I was talking to Katie last week about your absence. It was really kind of nice.
I think everybody enjoyed that for 1 week, being able to breathe.
And you were sometimes you take a week off to refresh. You went to Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia for 7 days, where, strangely, they don't follow SEC football. I think I found the only place in the world that doesn't.
So when you checked into like a 10-star hotel, did you say, do you get SEC Network?
His Excellency does know how to host now. Let me tell you that. That would be a great title for you, Paul. I'm over there and said, you have to call him His Excellency. That you should be called, in the SEC, we should refer to you as His Excellency.
Combine it. Start playing the seeds.
His Eminence is okay. Yeah. I mean, I know that's not as high as it is.
Well, listen, we skip lunch for you, so you do have that kind of power, which I'm starving right now. Squirrel, can you please bring that up here? There's a preview of Squirrel right here. Thank you. Squirrel, yeah, just bring that up here. Bring that right up here. Are you psyched for this game? I'm a little hungry.
Okay.
Thank you, Squirrel. Hey, thank you, Squirrel. Thank you. Squirrel, do you want any?
Squirrel could be a maitre d' in his next line of work.
Yeah,
this
great.
What is all this about?
Nothing. I haven't had a lunch.
What is that, Tess?
So that's a honey-baked ham right there. Boy, is that good. I mean, the caramelization
For Thanksgiving and Christmas, those are the things you get when you give out coupons?
And the way they do that with the sugar coating?
So good.
What do you call that right there?
I call it like a sugar crust.
A glaze?
I may not be able to finish the segment with the nauseating smell of that ham.
That is great.
Do you want
any? I do not want any.
How did you hear about honey-baked ham?
Well, I have friends in the industry who hype it weekly, and I said, I got to go
I didn't catch that.
Anyways.
Now you're caught up?
Tell him about the conversation with Lane Kiffin we had about an hour
ago. Well, go ahead. By the way, I'm struggling with just the sumptuousness of that. So you go ahead and ask yourself questions here while I try to recover.
Well, I mean, listen, one of the big storylines that we're going to have tomorrow is what's been going on with the verbal barbs now for a year and a half between Jimbo and Lane. And then Lane this week, I thought, really, this is so tempting right here.
I can't take you seriously with plastic fork and knife.
I'm sorry, but Lane this week, I thought, had a nice filter and he really didn't go that far of going down the path of more of these verbal shots at Jimbo Fisher. He just simply used the word three times in 15 seconds of saying, a collecting talent and overusing that word.
Yeah, which I think was a direct but subtle shot at the collective that might have bought, might have bought the best recruiting class that Texas A&M has ever had. And there is no love lost between the two of them. And Lane certainly recognizes that. He doesn't shy away from it.
This is delicious, legitimately delicious.
Very delicious. He was very open
honest. We're having dinner in about 3.5 hours.
That's a good point, but that is very good.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Mm. One of these days, Joe is going to be representing Honeybaked Hams.
No, I'm not at that level of the industry, yeah. But I am fascinated to see what it is like pregame when the coaches go out there and they have this moment of,
I mean, is it,
you know, the platitude exchange. And
it's usually, is it fair to, I see, we made so much out of Saban, Jimbo, but I've argued this week, this is the rivalry in the SEC right now.
Agreed.
Among the coaches,
yeah, of course.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, whether you think about the teams or not, but it is real. And obviously the post-game comment last year and what's happened the last two seasons. And but no, it is very much real. And Lane was very much on the record today in discussing of even going so far as, hey, listen, the guy lost me when he went out and said this publicly. So it's the real deal.
And Lane's, I mean, you know him. Is he the kind of guy that does this very often when it
no,
comes?
No, I think Lane is a very cool, calm, and collected person when you meet with him. I also think that he likes throwing a little cute jab here
sure,
and there on Twitter.
Sure.
He has that persona about him, but when it comes to actually disliking someone, I mean, they don't like each other
yeah.
at all. I
yeah.
mean, that is so apparent when you talk with Lane. I'm very curious to see Jimbo's thoughts on it when we meet with him later this afternoon.
In about an hour.
But there has become a great rivalry between the two of them. Please don't. No.
Yeah, please.
No, I said you take that.
You should try the hardened glaze, though.
I deeply apologize.
I'm telling you, it is the real deal.
Can we get back with
you? You know, I will tell you this. Lane, I think, has great respect for the as he would say, collection of talent, especially on the defensive mm-hmm. line. And I think Lane feels that this game is going to be played at a certain pace where it's going to be highly competitive because of what the front seven of Texas A&M can offer up.
He said it comes down to, can tempo neutralize talent?
Because the talent is there in that front seven.
Can his tempo neutralize their talent? The last two times these two teams have met, they've won out. But you can't deny that Texas A&M's front seven has played extremely well this year. And I think it's going to be an excellent game.
And going so far as to say, you know, obviously, Quinshon Judkins last year ran for 200 mm-hmm. yards against that A&M defense. He does not feel like it'll be that kind of a game at all. He said to us, we are going to have to pass the ball to win. And yet you look at Jackson Dart the past couple weeks, and he hasn't been at his best. He's pressing a little bit.
He is. And Lane said he got banged up a little bit in the Arkansas game, so wasn't 100% physically. They haven't run him as much. This is a guy whose mentality is like that of a linebacker. I feel like when he runs the ball, takes a little bit of a hit, he actually gets himself going. The juices get going, and he's at his best. But Lane says he's been, what, off was the word that he's described?
Yeah. Is Lane joining you today?
He's not.
Why is that?
He told me that he wanted to lay low.
So that
tells
you,
We talked the other day. He said, I mean, he's always done it. He said, I want to stay out of the spotlight. That's why. That's why I'm going to spend 30 minutes to an hour with Joe and Katie and unload on Jimbo Fisher.
But I think if he was on live television, a lot of that would come out, and he's smart enough.
Well,
and
I
enough
think
to know right
because
now that
he, because we have this bizarre relationship.
Yes, you do. And you got him fired at USC.
Well. Somehow, I hate to miss Lane, but I do. I'm glad because the last seven times he sat right there, we had to relive that story.
Exactly. Yes. Listen, he's in such a better place in his life overall. That's another thing that we talked about extensively today of living a clean lifestyle and a purpose-minded life. He's in a far better place, and he's comfortable saying that to you. Because he can honestly reflect on those years.
We're talking to John Gordon right now with Katie George.
No, I did truly love what he said. It's no longer about me. It's about how I can help other people. And there was clearly a mindset shift. Earlier on in his career, he was making decisions that benefited him.
Right.
His vices, what he wanted to do, not those, his family members.
But I'm struggling.
Who wins the SEC West right now, Paul?
Who what?
Who wins the SEC West
Alabama.
Right now? Ole Miss. Ole Miss, okay. Listen, here's the funny thing. You win
this game. Want some honey baked ham?
You win this game, which if anybody wants honey baked ham, I mean sensational. Chef's kiss. Honey baked ham. As soon as the segment's over, I'm going to be tossing it to everybody.
You have eaten this ham last week.
But anyways, you can frisbee the honey baked ham.
Could you have eaten that in Saudi?
Well, no. Because we respect the cultural boundaries. But the food was sensational. But anyways, strangely, this is a huge game, a swing game for both programs. Next week's the big one against Georgia.
Right.
You go 2-0 in the next 2 weeks, you may be better off sitting out of the SEC championship game, sitting back at 11-1 for a chance to make the college football playoff.
Maybe.
Listen, that's how the Big Ten got.
Alabama's done it a few times.
Alabama's done it. The Big Ten last year did it. But an 11-1 Ole Miss team with a win against Georgia and this win against Texas A&M and coming down the stretch of the season, very attractive.
Neither has happened yet.
What's that?
I said neither has happened.
No, this is a big game. It's a huge game for A&M, too, in terms of the swing of their entire season.
I think it is big for A&M because it suddenly recharges their season.
They'd be going for a 9-win season then. They would most likely be playing LSU to have a 9-win season, and you would then look back at the losses and say, okay, listen, I get it, early season, finding yourself in a weird game at
Never
Miami,
happened
Alabama,
before, so
Tennessee.
This is an aberration, right?
I think tomorrow is the swing game of the season for the two programs.
I agree.
How good is that? Give me a quick review. How
Leave
good is
me
it?
Out of it. You guys just
nobody said nobody. Nobody.
Who's the guy on Barstool who just eats the ice cream in the background? Glenny Balls. That's what I am right now.
I'm sorry. Glenny Balls. Come again?
That's his name, not mine.
I'm
just eating my ham and listening to you guys chat.
I
love
it. Your ham,
Katie.
Yes, Paul.
I don't even know what to ask you because. I'm
distracted by the ham.
I've got a glutton sitting next to you.
It's very good.
How much of this
and
ham
it feels
can
like
you
it's
eat?
Low in sodium as well, Katie.
It is low in sodium.
Thank you.
Do you want a piece?
I don't. I don't mean to be rude, but I think I answered that 20 minutes ago.
That's how long he talks. Ooh.
Will you at least tell me about MBS later when we're off?
Absolutely. When we go out to dinner tonight, we'll have an extensive conversation about what went down last week.
And by the way, I followed the fight. Not sure
you think Ngannou won?
Not sure the judges got it right.
Yeah, it was razor thin. It was wild, man. It was a fun week, but I'm glad to be back in the SEC with you, Paul.
Okay, I am too. I wish we could do this every week. Maybe
we will. We will do it.
I think
every
we
week.
Might be. We'll take a short break.
Thank
Live
you. Ham for everybody
at the Grove.
Okay, give them the ham, will you please?
Ham.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're live in Oxford on a gorgeous afternoon. It's hard to find prettier weather than what we have on this Friday before the big Texas A&M game. Cedric Johnson joining us. The outstanding defensive end. Grew up in Mobile, Alabama, and you won the Chucky Mullins Courage Award. And Cedric, that is very special on this campus because of what Chucky Mullins stood for and represented. And I know that had to be an amazing honor for you.
It meant a lot to me. I'm blessed and honored to be here first and foremost. But that was a big deal to me. Being here my whole college career, learning about Chucky, all 4 years here, knowing he's from Alabama, me being from Alabama myself, it meant a lot to me to be able to represent his number and what he stood for.
Well, let's talk a little about how you ended up here, and then we'll talk about this weekend and what it means and the rest of the season. You growing up in Alabama, you had a brother that played football. What pointed you toward Oxford, Mississippi?
The main thing was I just really wanted to play in the SEC. That was the biggest thing I wanted to do. He and my brother always told me he thought I could play. He thought I would be the one to be able to play in the SEC. So that was the main thing. And I came here, came on a camp. I came on a camp, and they really took a liking to me. And I committed pretty early after they offered.
And you play for an offensive-minded coach who everybody thinks they know and loves, and all the quirkiness that comes with Lane Kiffin. What's it like to now be careful now, because he may be watching. what's it like to play for Coach Kiffin?
Me, offensive mind, I feel like he shows a lot of love to the offense during practices. We get a little upset during practices.
Does he know there's a defensive side of the ball?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I think for sure this year. But during practice, we get a little riled up. Like, things might get a little unfair when they're doing their tempo. We might get a little irritated. Then might get a little back and forth out of me and Dart sometimes. But, you know, it's always great. It's always great. He's starting to show us a lot more love nowadays.
Well, this defense is playing really well. And Pete Golding came over after a number of years at Alabama. What did you know? I mean, you played against him.
Yes.
So obviously you knew who he was. Mm-hmm. What's it been like to be integrated into his system?
It's been great. It's been great to be able to pick his brain and get a lot of knowledge from him. He has plenty of experience, seen a lot of guys, took a lot of guys to the next level. So it's good to be under an experienced guy and see what he has to know and taking what he has to offer.
Cedric, it's Friday, the day before the game, and I would think there's a setup, there's a regime, there's a system, there's a procedure that players go through. Take us through Friday and into Saturday, because I doubt there's a lot of free time to see friends and hang out.
What's like me like? Personally or as a team?
Yeah, I mean, as far as what's next for you on this weekend?
Me, I try and not try and get away from the game for a minute, but like just have some me time, really. Just focus in, be able to snap in. I like to just relax a little bit, so I'll just play the game or something, or just relax or just enjoy a new show or something. Just try and relax, take my mind off the game, because I know Saturday when it's time to get into it, we got to have complete focus.
I don't know if I want to play any games with you since you're a computer science major.
Oh yeah, nah.
Are you a bad guy to try to mess with on a computer game?
It was crazy. I'm not big on sports games. Like, I'll play everything except sports games, really. But yeah, when I get really competitive on a game, you do not want to play against me.
I wouldn't want to play against you in anything, especially across the defensive to the offensive line. So after this, is there the team gets together on Friday night? Are the meetings different? Is it more just review, go over what you've already learned all week, and then there's some relaxing, I would think.
Yes, we have a team meeting to just recap what's the game plan, just keys to victory type things, what each position group is going to do going right into the game. That's the thought process, and we have our separate position meetings that we go into, and we just recap, go over our practice, and just review what we're going to do for the game and just make sure we're 100% prepared.
And then, I mean, a lot of players, they'll be trying to go to sleep. They'll be thinking about the game. I've talked to quarterbacks sometimes. They'll visualize it. Do you try to shut that down at that point, or are you still thinking about it?
I'm definitely still thinking about it. Like, before I go to sleep, I'm visualizing.
Just destroying a quarterback,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Before I go to sleep, I'm visualizing myself making plays. Then before I go to bed, like as soon as I wake up, I'm visualizing making plays, going into the game, doing what I have to do. So that's definitely a big part of it, visualizing yourself making plays.
I won't get too deep in the weeds on Texas A&M, but I would like to ask you about some other matchups this year. You played arguably the best quarterback in the country a couple weeks ago in Jaden Daniels, and you won that game. It was one of the biggest wins Ole Miss has had. When you go up against someone like that, and I realize there's a lot more to it than you two, but he's you explain. What is he like to try to contain?
It's crazy. I mean, he can do it all, really. Like, he can throw on a dime, you know, in the pocket. He can run out the pocket, throw it on down. He can take off and get as many yards as he needs to get. So it was a really big game for us, a really tough game for us, knowing that he can do what he could do. So going into the game, we were just trying to find almost every possible way to keep him contained. And if he did get loose, having a secondary to be prepared to stop him.
Yeah, I would think that type of quarterback does keep you up a little bit late at night.
Yes, to say the least.
The one you're seeing tomorrow, you know, it replaced Connor Wegman, Max Johnson. He is still he was at LSU, of course. I don't want to get too deep into what's going on tomorrow. But as you look at Texas A&M, this is a very critical game. The experts, the people that sit on my side of the counter, think it's going to be a very close game. Are games different for you? I mean, obviously, you're trying to be prepared for what they do. Is that how you approach a game?
Yes, I feel like we got to take every game differently, but like approach it the same way with the same amount of focus and everything, but just tweak the game plan to what their players are and what they have. I believe this is going to be a big game for us defensively. I feel like we both have great defenses, and I really personally feel like it's going to be a battle of defenses. Who can stop their offense from scoring?
It's an unusual question to ask a defensive end about the other team's defensive line, but everyone looks over at Texas A&M, and they use a lot of adjectives to describe them. Do you pay much attention to, even though that's not really part of your game, but I'm sure you look over there with respect?
Yeah, for sure. I've heard a lot about them. From what I've seen, I haven't seen too much, but right. From what I've seen, they're a pretty strong, violent, fast group. They have a lot of fast guys, a lot of big guys, so I have a lot of respect for them that way.
So, again, a day like tomorrow, I realize you're a football player. You're trying to be prepared for all kinds of intangibles. But tomorrow morning, it's an early game. You played a couple of these, and it's not a matter of whether you like them or not. It's the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. How different is it? Because you have to get up really early, don't you?
Yes. Which what I really like about our program, we do everything early. So okay. I don't think this is going to be a big change for us. We're used to waking up early throughout our whole time here, like from spring training, fall camp, everything. So
for an 11 o'clock game, what's the wake up call like?
I believe it's going to be 6:30, but now, that's normally when I'm waking
I was
up.
I was a college student a couple of lifetimes mm-hmm. ago. I never saw 6:30 in the morning.
Really. My whole college career has been 5:30, 6 a.m., sometimes earlier than that.
Oh, okay. Is it possible that you got this from your dad, who was a proud member of the Marines, where they're not getting up like clowns like me at 10 o'clock in the morning?
yes, for sure. Maybe from him. Well, I know for sure from the job he's always been working all my life. You know, he's been getting up 6 a.m. every morning. Actually, probably 4:30 or 5 a.m. Oh, he has to be in at 6. So, yes.
So you are that rare college student that isn't the least bit concerned whether the game's at 11 a.m. or 9 p.m. at night.
No, not at all. But I honestly prefer a morning game or earlier game.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Tell me about your dad a little bit. I'm really interested in what impact he's had on you.
A huge impact. He's extremely smart, reads a lot, very disciplined, which is why I feel like I have a lot of discipline in my life. Just seeing him going to work all the time, doing stuff for us 24/7, just trying to do his best to put his best for us, for me and my brother. He's always talking me and my brother's heads off 24/7, probably about anything and everything, really. Like he always says, I got a piece of useless information for you. If it's about his books or anything he's read about, you know, he's always just telling us, talking to us. So I try and keep my mind open to things, and he's sending me clips on how to be a better D lineman and this, that, and the third. Even though I know he has no idea, but it's nice. I really appreciate him.
So I mean, you're one of the premier D linemen. You're an academic scholar. And your dad's still trying to make you better, right?
Yes, 24/7, always. But I really appreciate it. I mean, I can't ask for more.
I'm sure this is true, but is there some life lesson that he passed along with you that does play a big role in what you do every day?
Yes. Honestly, so many. Probably just not being afraid to ask questions. Just don't be afraid to ask a stupid question. And being prepared for a media, like, he's going to critique me crazy on how I do this interview right now. And just, like, how I've always done my interviews. So he tries to...
What's your dad's name?
Cephas Johnson. Cephas Johnson Jr.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I'll just give your son a grade here. I'd say you aced this interview. You did a much better job than the host, who was fumbling all over the place trying to trying to find the right... avenue to go down, but we are so happy and proud to have you out here, and you be well. We'll be watching you tomorrow and every other Saturday this fall, and
I really appreciate
it's been a great, thank you so
great much.
Honor to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. Cedric Johnson, the defensive end at Ole Miss, and we take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We've had everything this hour, from a great player to a honey-baked ham. And now we have a squirrel. I'm not kidding. This is Squirrel, who calls in from Madison, Mississippi, and he's live on the set.
Did you see me almost bust my ass when I come around the corner with the ham just now?
Fortunately, I did not see that.
If it wasn't for my cat-like reflexes.
But, so Squirrel, it's great to see you here on the...
On the main
stage.
I'm hoping maybe to turn this into an NIL deal or something like that when I leave here.
I'm just thinking, the idea that you're sitting here and, you know, which caller is happy about this, cheering for you.
Come on, doesn't cheer.
Because don't we all like to see our friends do well? And I know there are a lot of people out there around the country, I-Man and Legend, well, maybe not Legend.
Let's don't forget your number one leg humper.
But there's one guy who...
Your number one leg humper in Tuscaloosa. I wish he was sitting right here in between us. But
I do too.
Maybe next show.
You don't think he's happy about seeing you up
here? He is biting his nails right now. But he'll call in and let you know about it at some point.
So take us behind the curtain of a Feinbaum caller. I know that sounds pretty arrogant, but... I asked it anyway. I've met you a number of times.
Well, I was lucky. I got in the early years, you know, before you.
When was your first call?
You were still on AM and FM back in those days. So it was before Sirius Radio, and it was for TV. And I was just lucky enough to ride the train up to this point.
I had a guy stop me today, and he said he heard the show for the first time in 1990, I think, and he was in Montgomery, Alabama. He said, you were on AM. I said, we were on AM a long time.
You were.
FM sports did not really start until probably about 17 years ago. You did not put a sports show on the precious FM dial because you had to play the same Doobie Brothers song 100 times a day.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, like your leg humper, but we are lucky that you have this show that gives people like us, callers, ordinary people, an avenue to call in and voice our opinions and take jabs at each other and have a little fun every once in a while. So we really appreciate it.
But what I've found so interesting about this, Squirrel, is that a lot of you folks know each other well. You don't have to violate any confidences, tell us a little bit about what happens off the air.
I wish that we could record some of our conversations that I have with I-Man and with Legend and some people like that and play it, but it would probably be X-ray. Well, definitely PG-13. I don't know. R for sure.
Now, what are you talking about?
We're talking about the show. We're talking about people on the show. We're talking about you. We're talking about life in general.
That makes me uncomfortable knowing that you guys are talking about me behind my back.
We talk about you behind your back all the time. You know that.
I mean, how am I doing?
You're doing great.
Okay. I just don't want my close friends and associates to think that I'm bailing on them or doing something that isn't perfect, because I'm here for you guys.
You are here for us, and that's why we're here for you, because you're here for us.
Do you think that's why that other guy, because he's not part of this group.
He's missing out on a lot of fun. Like if he were to come down and hang out with you once in a while, he would have a good time. And like I said, that's his loss, not ours. And I can't worry about losers like that. So I'm I can't spend my time worrying about Mr. Magoo. I'm here to have fun with my buddy Paul Feinbaum.
Let's hear it for the Squirrel.
Thank you.
We got it. That will live in infamy right there. We'll take a short break. We are live in Oxford.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.